Daryl Ryder got everybody going over the weekend, then doubled down on what he was talking about on his show with Nick Padone yesterday.
So I want to know if his viral tweets came up in a private one-on-one conversation I saw Daryl partaking in the other night with none other than billionaire Browns owner Jimmy Haslam. D flanked them as well to the right. Daryl, I thought, got more FaceTime than any of the other beat reporters I saw making their way over to the royalty that is the Haslam.
Well, you know, congratulations, Darryl, on all your success.
I mean, you know Daryl. He's a social butterfly. He'll get everybody's attention.
I thought Daryl looked great. He hobnobbed. He just looked like he belonged. Daryl, I got to say, I was blown away by your presence at
that. So you don't think he belongs anyway?
I didn't think he belonged beforehand, no.
Okay. Thanks, Lima.
There you go. Hello.
He thought he belonged behind the lens of a camera.
Now, can you expose some of those conversations, or are they going to be kept in private?
Probably going to be kept in private.
That's good. That's
good background.
That's the right thing.
And listen, we didn't talk a lot of football, believe it or not.
What did you talk about? Well, Daryl's going to keep it in private, so I can't ask him what he's going to talk about.
Yeah, we didn't talk a lot of football.
Did you guys talk about Twitter? Did you guys talk about anything you put on Twitter over the weekend?
Nope.
That didn't get brought up?
Nope.
Stadium stuff?
Nope.
Huh.
Try again.
Daryl, I was...
Columbus Crew?
Milwaukee Bucks.
I got nothing else.
The future of the lakefront?
Nope.
Would you guys just stare at each other?
Tennessee football.
Showering where you pump your gas.
Oh, my God. Please tell me you guys talked about Phil Fulmer. I would have talked an hour with him about Phil Fulmer.
We'd still be talking if that was the topic of conversation, Ken.
You know I'm a big college football fan, and for whatever reason, I just kind of like Tennessee.
I can't lie. I missed you Saturday night, Ken.
I'm sorry, Daryl. Jonah was not feeling well, and now I don't think I'm feeling well. So we're playing it by ear as we go here. So
it's starting to go around again, huh?
But I was driving down. I felt fine on Saturday morning, and I was driving down to my son's scrimmage to coach, and all of a sudden my phone just started buzzing like crazy. Because you tweeted, I don't know how to say this, but Dylan Gabriel shouldn't be ahead of the ball boys. Every time I watch him, I think to myself, they can't be serious with this kid. And there were a bunch of people, I got to tell you, there was a lot of people who were saying, finally, he said it. And then the other people, I'm telling you, they were texting me, they were cussing you clean out.
Yeah.
So, Daryl, your thoughts on Dylan Gabriel?
He's not good. He's not an NFL quarterback, not right now.
Jeez.
And the fact they keep running him out there for first-team reps, and part of it I get because Kenny Pickett's banged up with a hamstring injury, so there's not a lot he can do. But this goes back. They have been putting him out there first with the 11-on-11 going back to the offseason program. They're cramming this guy down our throats, and it's not good. It's not a height thing. It's not personal. I mean, he's rolling out, and he can't hit guys that are wide open. He is not all that great at times during the warm-up periods. He's pretty good during 7-on-7 when there's no offensive and defensive lines, but he's just not a good quarterback. And he's a third-round pick, and I talked extensively yesterday, as you mentioned, on my show with Nick Padone. The problem that I have right now is that the Browns are forcing me to look at a third-round pick who has no business being in contention to start a football game this year. They're forcing me to evaluate him like he is a first-round pick and like he is a starting quarterback in the NFL. And that's not fair to Dylan. You're putting that kid in a really, really bad spot. Dylan Gabriel should be a developmental player, just like you have, as an organization, made the decision to have Shedeur Sanders be a developmental player. But giving him first-team reps on a consistent basis is ridiculous. He is not a starting quarterback. Not yet. Maybe someday he'll develop into Colt McCoy and be one of those guys that can bounce around the league and be a backup or whatever. But, I mean, it's just got awful when he's on the field. It's not good. And, you know, at times I feel like he brings the practice to a screeching halt when he's doing the 11-on-11 because the ball doesn't move.
All right, Daryl, I want to ask you, because I saw some people that were going back and forth or trying to draw you into a lengthy back and forth on social media that it's far too early to be making these pronouncements. This is supposed to be a time of development. What would your retort be those individuals, because I, from what I read, everything you were seeing, it was in line with a lot of the concerns when he was overdrafted.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. When you're giving him first-team reps consistently, I have to look at it differently, because that tells me you're getting ready to play this kid. Now, you're probably not going to play him in week one, but we're going to see Dylan Gabriel this year, and the Browns are going to have no chance to win. When he is out there, it reminds me of the Eric Mangini practices. But at least with Eric Mangini, we had the entertainment value of watching the offensive linemen run laps every time they made a mistake around the fields. It's not an entertaining product when he's out there. He's not very good. He's not ready for it. He's a great kid. It's nothing personal, but he's not ready for this. And the organization has decided, yeah, let's keep giving him first-team reps over and over again. The first team reps in 11-on-11 should unequivocally go to Joe Flacco. Unless the whole thing is you're basically giving Joe Flacco this training camp off because he's going to be your starter week one anyway, and you've seen all you can see.
That's what I'm assuming.
That has to be it, because, the defense looks like the 85 Bears right now when he's on the field. And look, they're good. I don't think they're 85 Bears good. This has been consistent all off season. Yeah, he's had some good moments. It's not been all an unmitigated disaster. But the problem is the bad moments are outweighing the good moments by about a 4-to-1 ratio.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. So are you thinking that on Friday we're all going to get to see what you've been talking about and he's going to struggle?
Yeah.
Matter of fact.
Wow.
They're going to play their starters, and I'm expecting him to start. So Dylan Gabriel against the Carolina Panthers starters, I have no expectation that's going to go well for him. And I don't think it's reasonably fair to expect that either, based on what I've seen at training camp. And, hopefully Shedeur Sanders' sore shoulder is calmed down. I expect it to be Dylan Gabriel in the first half, and I expect it to be Shedeur in the second half. You're not going to see Joe Flacco. You're not going to see Kenny Pickett.
I mean, he must be terrible, because I've never heard you be this certain about anything, ever. Well, I've known you for 14 years.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson at least could pass for an NFL quarterback on a practice field, okay? Now, he's the worst game quarterback I've ever seen, but he could at least sling it on the field and be consistent with it. And look, if I could take Dorian Thompson-Robinson and blend him with Dylan Gabriel, you might have a little something there. But I'm not seeing it with Gabriel. I didn't see it when they made the draft pick, and I have seen nothing through rookie minicamp to the offseason program to veteran minicamp to the first 8-9 practices of training camp here to tell me this kid is ready to be a starter in the National Football League. He is miles.
We got to put him through the exercise.
You're not going to get away with that easy. Pat, let's go. Power rank the top three worst quarterbacks you ever saw on the field. Let's go.
You've seen a bunch.
Come on.
Oh, lot to work with.
Oh, this is hard. Well, I gave you Dorian Thompson-Robinson as number one. I would love to go Dylan Gabriel number two, but it's not fair to do that to him just yet.
Oh, now Daryl's worried about being not fair.
About fairness.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, hey, boy, he hasn't played in a game yet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man, this is hard. This is really tough. There's so many to choose from. Is it mean to throw Spurgeon Win in there?
Go ahead. It's your power ranking, dude. You can say what
I'm going to throw Spurgeon Win in there.
He's so worried about being mean all of a sudden.
And then I'm going to go... It's a honorable mention, Cody Kessler and DeShone Kizer. I'm going to go three. How about that?
Cody Kessler and DeShone Kizer.
I mean, I think Johnny Manziel should be in there too, but I think there were extenuating circumstances that led to his poor performance on the field.
Okay. Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. So
I think I just did like a top eight. You just can't do three.
Anything to be worried about when it comes to Shador's shoulder or Shador's arm?
Well, I'm trying not to be.
Because he's got to be out there. I got to see him Friday, Daryl. I got to see him Friday.
I know. And here's the thing. If there is something to be concerned about, he's taken the fewest reps of any of these quarterbacks, and he's got a sore arm. Now, granted, he's throwing hundreds of footballs outside of practice because he's not getting the work in practice. He has to get the work in the hungry dog period or whatever Kevin Stefanski calls that thing at the end of practice, or he's got to get it before practice. And So he has to do all his work outside of the normal practice reps, and you know, got a little camp arm here. So it is something to keep an eye on again, because he's gotten the fewest practice reps of any of these QBs.
Have the fans been as brutal as it has sounded like, just from the tenor of the social media posts that have come out when it comes to Gabriel's struggles? Because it certainly seems like the fans wanted to see Shador on Saturday, and unfortunately he couldn't go.
When they're going out to today's the final practice, but the Browns did not get the memo that fans did not go to training camp to watch Dylan Gabriel. Okay, they went to watch Shador Sanders. I did hear a couple of times on Saturday, after a couple of just god-awful incompletions, non-competitive passes. We talk about non-competitive pitches with Emmanuel Clase and Louis Ortiz. Well, we've had a couple of non-competitive passes from Dylan Gabriel. Yeah, I heard a few put-in Shador calls from the bleachers on Saturday.
All right, Daryl, then tell us, running back-wise, how this is playing out right now, unfortunately, with the injury and, you know, the rookie not being able to be there. What does it look like? Because there's going to be a lot dumped on them once the season starts.
Yeah, and it's hard to evaluate the run game right now, and they're working on it on a daily basis. They do the 11-on-11, you know, run drills, but sometimes they're live, sometimes they're not. So it's hard to pinpoint, okay, was that a 2-yard run, or did he break through everybody and, you know, run free for 20, 25 yards plus? But they're going to lean on Jerome Ford. They're going to lean on Dylan Sampson. You know, Pierre Strong's going to be in the mix there too. This kid that they just signed last week, I'm sure at some point we're going to get a look at him, probably in the preseason Friday night, this Toa Tala or whatever. But yeah, I mean, not having Quinshon Judkins, who was supposed to be your bell cow back, available to you right now because he's unsigned and going through the legal trouble and under league investigation. That just is another hurdle that Kevin Stefanski is going to have to leap as he puts this thing together for the 2025 season.
Well, let me ask you this then, Daryl. The defense, you mentioned the defense. Is the defense that good, or are you just saying that the quarterback play is that bad?
Yeah, the quarterback play has not been great, and that's
so. How do we evaluate the defense then?
And that's the problem, Ken. Huh? Right? I mean, how many training camps though have we had where the quarterbacks look like they're all pros, and then the season comes, and yeah, what happens, right? And we've had camps where the defense is again look like they're the 85 Bears or the first Ravens Super Bowl team. But then the regular season comes and they get worn down. And that's really my fear with this defense right now, Ken, is if the offense can't be competent, that they're going to start out good or great. But I worry the defense is just going to get gassed and get worn down because the offense won't be able to do anything. And that is the chief concern I have right now when I think about the big picture with this football team. If they can just get competent quarterback play, if they can run the ball, just get the ball to the running backs and the tight ends and, you know, quick slants to the receivers, and let's not get cute and fancy with this thing, they'll be okay. And they're going to be in a lot of games this year, and they're going to have chances to win late. But if they can't get competent quarterback play, they're going to be in a world of hurt, because I don't think that the defense is going to be able to hold up. And the more these guys are out there, the more injuries you're going to pile up, and then the war of attrition just works against you as you get deeper and deeper into the year.
All right, last week, Terry McLaurin. This week, Micah Parsons. Do you have a dose of reality for Browns fans who are hearing fans want to trade for every player that is disgruntled?
Yeah, I had someone call the show yesterday working up a three-team trade to trade Dylan Gabriel for both Micah Parsons.
That's right.
And I
did they put an NBA team in there as the third team? That's not really how this works.
I know. It's been a while since we had a good three-team trade in the NFL, but I just don't think it's going to happen. Could both players help the Browns? Oh, of course, but salary cap situation being where it is, where they are team building wise, they don't have anyone to throw the football. I don't know that it makes sense to give up prime assets for a top tier wide receiver. Again, it's the old Phil Savage, you're ordering dessert before you have the meat and potatoes. They got to find the meat and potatoes first before they go out on the high priced wide receiver market next.
All right, Daryl. You got anything else for him there, Tone? I don't want to forget anything. You got any other mean-spirited things you like to say over there?
No. What'd you say to Andrew Berry?
No, I'm not talking to Tone. I'm talking to Daryl.
Daryl, what'd you say to Andrew Berry?
We didn't talk football.
Stefanski?
Kevin spent a lot of time with Tom Withers. I think Tom was his safe space since Tom isn't out in Berea on a regular basis like he used to be. So unfortunately, I tried to say hi to Kevin, but he took off by the time.
It's kind of like The Bachelor. You know, you only have so much time in The Bachelorette. Anybody that's watched those, you only have so much time. You don't want to interrupt, but eventually there was. We were talking to Andrew Berry at one point, and somebody just literally snaked him away. And it was my turn.
Yep. Yeah, that's how it goes. I got to tell you, though, Lima worked the room pretty good, Ken.
Oh, that's what Lima does.
Yeah, I mean, he worked the room pretty good. The missus was very impressed.
I wouldn't have done that. I would have sat there and had my drinks and drank my drinks and moved on with the evening.
Cleaned out the appetizer table.
Who did, you or Daryl?
They spared no expense.
Congratulations.
That was
quite the
setup.
Good for Mary Kay. Daryl, good for you as well. We'll see you.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Coming up in 5 minutes, the only thing that's truly unforgivable is wasting our time.